Hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 407. I'm your host, Jose. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Today's episode is a very unique and special one. We're going to be talking about trauma, movement, and mind and body. And we want to say thank you to Molly, who is a certified specialist in trauma and also a somatic movement coach. She's got a lot of things under her hat, but one being in particular, the Grave Box Collective, which is a just a wonderful place where you can go and treat yourself with those somatic classes. And I hope that you guys are interested in everyone, and especially this episode where we talk about trauma and those issues and how to deal with some of those issues by staying connected with everyone who comes in through our doors, or that we always try and put in the links and bios below. Those are for you to stay connected with them. And we hope that every person that you're interested in gets an opportunity to hear from you. That's why we put them there. But that being said, we'll jump into a little bit of the business side. You can hear every episode of our podcast at FindingArizonaPodcast.com. And as always, like I said before, you'll get the links to each person, every episode. We always try and put their information where you can find them on every one of those episodes. And on top of which, we have a newsletter that you can sign up for. There is a blog that you can look at, and there's also a vlog that you can look up over at our YouTube page. On top of everything else, social media wise, we are under Finding Arizona Podcasts. And if you want to send us an email, findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. Just to kind of give you a little behind the scenes, we are close to Mother's Day. I hope that you guys have a wonderful Mother's Day with your own. Brittany and I have plans for Mother's Day with each other and with the little guy, of course, our entire family. But then I particularly have plans with my own mother and with Atlas on a random weekday, but we will make sure that because of that, it's more of a less stressful environment, and we can, you know, really take our time and be leisurely about what we do. So that's the reason why we planned it that way. I love my mother. She is a big part of who I am and what I do and what I believe in. So I appreciate her, and happy Mother's Day to her if she's listening. On top of everything else, let's just jump into this episode. I hope that you guys will really appreciate this. Molly did a wonderful job speaking about what she does, and it's been really great to hear about more than anything. Mental health has been a big kind of selection of who comes in through these doors right now at this period of what we've been recording, and it's really nice. And I hope that you guys will take full opportunity of those individuals who come in through our doors. And this is just one very special conversation, and we will always appreciate every single one that comes in through our doors, so that you can appreciate it as well, and you can find yourself seeking them out as an opportunity to help yourself. So episode 407, Molly, Great Box Collective. Check her out. Check this episode out. And we will see you on the next one. Bye, y'all.
Score big with SeatGeek. Whether it's concerts, sports, or live events, SeatGeek has you covered. Use code FINDINGARIZONA to get a fantastic $20 discount on your SeatGeek tickets. Catch your favorite live events hassle-free with extra savings. Visit SeatGeek.com and make every experience unforgettable.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and as always, we bring in fantastic guests every week. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd love to introduce Molly here, and I have a little bit of an intro here. She's not only the founder and creative producer behind Gray Box Collective, she's a registered somatic movement educator and therapist. She's also a certified trauma support specialist. She is herself a visual and performing artist. And on top of every one of those hats, she is an author of the book Trauma-Informed Teaching Practices for Dance Educators. You wear a lot of hats. Welcome, Molly.
Thank you, Jose. And thank you for that intro. Yes, I was actually just diving into the content around being a multi-potentialite. I don't know if that's a term you've heard before.
I've not heard it, but it sounds fascinating. I love meeting these kind of individuals because I have met my fair share of what I say it again. How do you
Multi-potentialite.
multi-potentially? Nice. Okay.
Yes. So just meaning like there's a lot that we want to do, and I like to do all of those things. So it's coming from this
Absolutely.
like intrinsically motivated place. And yeah.
I
So.
love it. It's really one of those things that it really fascinates me because those who wear those many hats have this particular set of enthusiasm, particular ideals and motivations that I love to understand. So I'll just ask you the question that we usually ask everyone. Give us a little bit of your origin story. I imagine something as particular as what you do comes from a very, special situation. It's not every day that you deal with trauma. Trauma specialist, trauma therapist. And so I'd love to hear and understand that pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, as you gave my beautiful intro, I'm a somatic practitioner and multidisciplinary artist. And the two threads that have really brought my entire professional life together is a fascination with human movement and then what interrupts the full expression of it.
Okay.
And with those two threads, so like when I say human movement, I'm of course talking about dance and like fitness modalities, yoga, right? But I'm also talking about how do individuals like move through a system,
Yeah.
or how do social justice movements rise and fall, or how like humans move and shape the world, whether it's their environment or like clay sculpture.
Yeah.
All of that to me is very much human movement.
Okay.
And then the things that can interrupt it, of course, like stress and trauma and burnout and systems designed to harm us or to put up barriers around us or injuries, chronic pain, all of that.
Yeah.
Because I think there's so much beauty that can come from human movement quite naturally, but it's how we have to deal with what gets in the way of our authentic movement that starts to like kind of muck things up for everyone. So
One
that's
of
really the threads for me. Yeah.
that is very beautiful. And the one thing I can definitely say I can relate to is so my profession is a landscape architecture, and that's something that I really enjoy doing on my it's what I call my 9 to 5 when I'm not doing this as my 5 to 9. So I love this in particular because what we deal with a lot of the times is understanding movement in society and understanding how particular, especially in the landscape, how to use that and create these flows of modality, not only through walking, but through other means like cars and bicycles and other aspects of the world. So blending those together so that they work in cohesive environments. And I find that very beautiful. It has been a particular interest of mine, especially as I've grown up in this city and seen it grow, and shape and be molded by other landscape architects and other engineers, planning. It's been very interesting to see how the scope of movement has played a big part on this city as a whole. And I have very much been intentful of everything that I do about how individuals like to travel or how they like to move in a particular space, like a park or a community environment. So I definitely can relate on that kind of very big and broad scale, but I love your education and what you've been doing as far as your particular methods of how you treat that. One question that I would like to ask is what was that very first moment of like, I want this to be a career of mine?
I mean, it's not like I was in kindergarten being like, this is what I'm gonna be when I grow up. Right. And it's definitely been this like unfolding that has happened for me, and a lot of like discovering the way on the way, trusting the process, all those kinds of like little mantras we can hang on to. But I mean, very early on, I mean, back in like high school, I wanted to have my own dance studio. Like, I didn't even want to go to college. My parents had to convince me. And they were like, maybe take like a business math class. And I was like, okay, I guess I never did, but here I am.
I get it.
And yeah, and so I grew up in Maine, and all I wanted to do was study dance. But in the
Okay.
state of Maine, you can't, at the time, you couldn't get a degree in dance. So I was like, well, theater's close. So I ended up in theater, graduated with more credits in dance. But in that, I really just kind of started to explore using the arts as a vehicle for social change. And I think that's when I started to see how, dance, theater, performance, it could be more than just there to entertain someone. And I happened to get a job where I was to use dance and theater to promote the mission of this organization, which was to provide basically sexual assault awareness on college campuses. And so that's where like the trauma side started to show up and understanding how we can use the arts as a way to go about that. And then I was like, oh, I'm like, now I'm hooked on this whole education thing. I'm gonna go get my MFA in dance. Got rejected from a lot of schools. Ended up with in a master's of education program, which like my whole family's a bunch of educators, so it makes sense that that's where I ended up. And it was a specific part of educational psychology that I was studying, person development theory. So a lot of like advising and counseling kind of responsibilities started to show up there. And I took one class called Adventure Therapy. Fabulous class. Like the final was to go rock wall climbing, which like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's where I started to hear more about embodiment and somatics was actually in that class. I didn't hear it from the dance program that I was in, and continued on my path of working in higher education, decided like, no, I really want this MFA in dance. And that's where I really started to get exposed to somatics. And all along this journey, my interest in creativity and the intersection of creativity and trauma was still there. But now also folding in that somatic element of understanding like the connection mind, body, and spirit to the world around us. Right, like this really deep alignment. And that was back in 2013 that I started studying somatics. And again, like I don't think there was like this pivotal moment, but it was just this unfolding of like I want a really dynamic career where I can talk about creativity and trauma, but I can also work with one-on-one and work with groups. So that's where it's kind of turned into this having Simply Soma Method as my private practice where I get to work with individuals, but then also having my art side where I get to talk about the intersection of trauma and creativity with Gray Box Collective and performances that are still there to promote social transformation and embodied activism.
It's very beautiful that you had an opportunity to at least understand some of the early beginnings of it, and that you understand it a lot more now from my perspective of just how things like that unfold. Your own journey unfolds on that kind of level of like, it's not just because like for me it was I wanted to architecture to be the biggest, like this most important thing that, I was very much like an avid Lego user, and like I loved building and creating with my hands, and growing up I wanted to do a lot of that, a hand architecture, that kind of stuff. It wasn't until I actually understood that there was a program for landscape architecture that I was like, oh, this is something that I really relate to, or this is something that I want to try and make this my life. So it wasn't just like, this one path. It's actually like it meanders. It like, it flows. It you don't just, some people who are like maybe doctors or something like that, just like, but again, it's like you specialize in something and then you go, even further down the rabbit hole. But I always find life journeys beautiful, especially when it comes to this podcast of like, it sometimes it's not as straightforward as I do this and I really made my life's purpose that way. A lot of the times we find here at this podcast, it's like, oh, I stumbled into this. This was never the goal. Like this was never, and it's, or it's like, I needed something, you know, to fulfill this need that is not being addressed. And I chose to do it. And so it's like, it's really beautiful to me to hear those stories, because again, how you find the path is very intriguing to me, because it is important. It's not every day that you meet someone from Maine that's now, you know, here and is providing individuals help through somatic movement, you know, just, you know, helping trauma be understood on that level. And I guess we should talk a little bit about the word somatic, just to kind of help people understand. And from my perspective, it helped me understand it. The word somatic in the terms is a kind of a medical terminology of or relating to the living body. And to you, do you fully agree with that, or do you have your own definition of somatic, or is there something that you want help people understand about this terminology?
Yeah, totally. So yes, like I think the English language is a little bit limited.
Yes.
So when it comes to somatic, and you look up, right, we see a lot of like the somatic nervous system, right, which is our nervous system that is going to be focused on like voluntary movement and movement of the body. And so the field of somatics that I'm coming from and kind of my lineage of somatics is based in movement. And so when we look at the word somatics, we're looking at the root word of soma, meaning living body in its wholeness. So often somatics is defined as like mind-body connection, but in defining it that way, we're actually separating the mind from the body. Yes. And so when I'm talking about somatics, the mind is a part of it. It is all of this, right? It's a package deal that we are living in. And I add into it some of Stacey K. Haynes' work is focused on the politics of trauma and how, you know, yes, it's our lived experience, but it's directly connected to our environment, to the social political climate. And so that, to me, somatics is not just about that deep alignment within ourselves. It's also about the alignment around ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that, I mean, it beautifully encapsulates, you know, if we want to even go further as far as to the very root of a lot of our impact, like, you know, just what did they call it? Flight or flight, you know, kind of modality of like how we do things in those very critical moments. Yeah. It's usually kind of one of those aspects of like, again, your environment, those kind of, you have to understand the person as a whole, what they've been through, and just, you know, it's not just, you know, this happened and then this happened. It is everything around them. It's like they saw this, they understood that, they tried to do this, and then also they knew what was going around in that situation at the time of their environment. So it's truly beautiful that you've chosen something that is so encompassing. Like it just really does really have an understanding of everything around it, not just the individual, but everything that goes along with that as well. So, you know, I particularly don't want to cross any, FERPA, HIPAA?
Yeah.
I don't want to cross by, you know, trying to ask, you know, what is your biggest client? Like, what's the one thing that you take away? But I would like to ask, in your career path, as you've kind of dealt with these situations of trauma and dealing with individuals who have it, what are some of the takeaways for you as far as how you go about your own life? And on top of that, has there been a, I guess, like a big changing point for you as soon as you've met, like, you know, gone through maybe a seminar or maybe a class, something like that, one-on-one work? I'd love to hear that from you.
Yeah. And actually, let me take a moment to also talk about how I think about trauma. And I think so often we think of trauma as like those headlining events, right? The mass shooting, the violence, genocide, you name it, right? We've got plenty of those. And yes, those are probably, like we can all agree upon, yes, those are traumatic events. But thinking about how trauma can also live within us, right? It's this stuck thing. Yeah. And bringing it back to what you were saying around like fight and flight response, those can be stored within us. And that's what I'm really looking at, is how responses can be stored if they're not completed. So like when I do trainings around trauma, I use the example of like, if a T-Rex was going to come chase us, right? Because probably you haven't experienced that. But yes, you know, if we were notified, like in this moment, there is a T-Rex loose in the city and we were able to escape, we were able to be and like complete that response, then it's not going to stay within us. But let's say instead, maybe we froze and we didn't run away. Then that stays within us. And so much of what is like really helpful with movement is that it helps complete that either trauma response or stress response cycle. Because so often we are kind of managing our stress, but if the stressors don't go away, if the T-Rex doesn't go away, like that stressor is still out there. And so using movement as that catalyst is really what I love diving into. And, you know, it's some of the early moments where I was really able to witness knowingly what might be happening in how people can complete those stress cycles. It was when I was teaching like a dance class or a yoga class, right? These things that I'm like, oh, it's just this thing. It's just a class. But then I remember there was one time I had a participant stay afterwards for about 45 minutes. And she found my class quite challenging. But she was able to rediscover the strength within her because of that. And it's interesting how like any kind of like pushing, so like a chaturanga in yoga or a push-up in like a HIIT class or whatever, if you have been in a position before where you wanted to push someone away and you couldn't, sometimes we can release that in the middle of, you know, like a workout and not know it. And I think those are like those first moments that really just surprise me. And then now working with clients one-on-one, we can start to look at that a little bit more intentionally and understand where that came from. And did like, we really get it out of our system? Did we reactivate ourselves in any way? It's those little moments that I think are really impactful. And also like they're a little sneaky because I think there's a lot of subtle trauma out there too that we're experiencing and picking up. So finding kind of how movement can be that subtle sneaky response to help remove it from our bodies.
I think it's absolutely true that you have those things that really surprise the individual on a kind of mental physical level, where again I go back to things that I can relate to and understand, or at least have seen kind of through videos or things like that. And one of the things that pops up in my brain when you're talking about this is like amputees and having that muscle traction, like in that limb. The phantom limb, as they call it, they feel it. They know, they still feel their, you know, limb there. And sometimes for, let's say, military in particular, it's traumatic of loss in that because of what they've been through. And I've seen it where it's like, you know, guy who has the phantom arm that was gone because of a grenade or something like that. And then what they've done is do the mirror therapy, where the left hand is, you know, and then you release it and it's the pain is movement, and it's the brain. It's the not only the body, but the brain associates it as well. And that release and just some of the view of like, oh my gosh, like all it took was this little simple exercise or something to help the brain understand that it's okay, that it's doing better. It's going to be all right. It really does surprise you what your body will respond to, or really how it will change physically through the mental aspect as well. And so I find it very beautiful that we can, through those exercises, through those moments of challenges, through the physicality in those movements, as yes, there is an opportunity to heal. And the same thing goes, I can even say, for, I don't know if you've ever watched, but was it the dance show, So You Think You Can Dance, or something like that, where you even see kind of like it's not the particular dances where they're, doing salsa, or it's one of those movements where it's like freeing, and you can see the, in some of those very specialized that go onto YouTube, where it's like about their trauma, about their history of violence or assault, and how they and their partner move through that dance, and just you could see it on the movement and how they are very passionate through that movement. And sometimes you can even see the tears come from the judges of like understanding how that dance or how that movement had affected them and released that metaphysical trauma. So, there are places where you can see it being done and witness it firsthand.
Yeah, definitely. Like so much of what you said is like so many thoughts at once. But that I actually recently went through a training more on like kind of the personal side of things, because that's also, of course, part of my background. And the whole training was really about creating safety for our brains so that we can actually do our workout, or actually do whatever else we really want to choose to do. And I think that's what I find really important when working with clients one-on-one is like, what is the inroad to safety for your brain? And normally those first sessions that I have, it's figuring out like, okay, are we going to hang out with your nervous system? Are we going to hang out with the lymphatic system? Are you like a muscular skeletal human or vestibular? Like what system is going to be the inroad? And maybe it's because it's the one that has been least impacted by stress or trauma or burnout. But figuring out how do we find our way back to ourselves? And what body-based system can we use to get there?
That must be a little bit fun to kind of, try, and it's a game. It's like trying to figure out the brain for you.
Well, and yes, it's a game and like dealing with people's stress and trauma, burnout.
Yes, that part is not as fun. That is not the point. But it's like, again, it's like, for me, I've always find enjoyment of like having to, for myself, it's like I have to find enjoyment of what I do. And so that finding that, especially in those dark moments, is I always truly find those people very fascinating, because you have to bring a level of joy to what you stressfully deal with on a routine basis.
Well, and I think when you can finally see someone, like if they're doing something for the lymphatic system, like working on their hands, and suddenly you just see the real in their shoulders. And it's like, oh, that's what we're looking for. Or I've been teaching classes at Mesa Arts Center on somatic movement lately. And last week, someone said that they had a lot of flight energy and that they were very aware that they just wanted to like run away. And so we started with some leg movement, and there was like a massive sigh from this person, right? And it's like, okay, cool. We found it. Maybe we completed it, got it out of our system. But yeah, I think there's something about finding just the little moments. Like, yes, a general movement class could be really great for anyone. Like if you are someone who is a human, like move, yes, please. But like, how can you refine it and start to match up? Like, what are you really hoping to achieve versus going like the global approach?
It's just, it again, it's like you, something that you see every day, and it must be just something. How do you balance? I would love to understand, how do you find balance in yourself to continue forward. I mean, it's a stressor to deal with other people's trauma, but it again, it's like, how do you find the level of like enjoyment to kind of continue forward? Is it just those moments of like helping them and see the relief on them?
Well, it's a couple things. And part of this whole journey for myself is also coming out of my own like burnout and chronic pain period of my life. When I was teaching like 7 days a week, between two and six classes a day, very physical classes, like I had a lot of mental and physical struggles. And knowing how this can be that vehicle to get people through it is one way that I wholeheartedly believe in this work. And there's also, okay, we may be more familiar with like the term vicarious trauma, that like, right, we can soak up other people's traumatic experiences and what they're kind of going through. We can also, though, experience vicarious resilience. So when we do see someone and we're working with someone and you see those breakthroughs and you see them making that progress, whatever progress might look like, it's not linear, but like, you know, whatever that kind of journey is, the journey is still happening, that can also be incredibly rewarding. And just being able to utilize something that I think a lot of people are kind of scared of movement, right? Like, I've definitely had clients that are like, oh, I'm not a dancer. And it's like, cool. I'm not going to ask you to. I think we're conditioned around like what movement is or who movement is for. And so also having to kind of work through some of those barriers to people who are like, I don't know if I'd call myself a dancer, but like to move. And it's like, cool, that's kind of the same. So, so yeah, it's journey.
We all have bodies that move in different ways, and like you said, it's finding those right modalities to help you. And the resilience, the vicarious resilience reminded me, it's like I enjoy 80s montages where it's like the boxer gets better through the different scenes, and so it just reminded me of that, of like, oh yeah, like we do find that joy of like seeing them get better and better and better and better. And so yes, we are inspired is the word that I was looking for, inspired by that. And so I definitely, you have a lot of hats, and I love every single one of them because they each kind of are different arms of your business and different kind of opportunities for you to grow into this very specialized individual. I wanted to ask you about the author part of it, and just having to research and write down the words. Are you a big time writer? Was it hard, easy for you in those moments to try and, put it down on a piece of paper?
Great question. Like yes and no. So I can dip into writing sometimes where like I can drop a few thousand words, no problem. And then there are other days where it's like I have to write a whole sentence, like So when I get in the right mindset, and when I can kind of set up my environment and really cue myself towards writing, yes, it's something that's really I really enjoy. And I mean, I say this as like I was in speech therapy before I was 2 years old, because I was nonverbal. And like even into middle school, high school, I would not talk at a restaurant. Like my parents still had to order for me. And so now being in this place where like I have some podcasts that I host as well. And yes, and writing has become a huge part of my life. Sometimes I'm more into being verbal, sometimes it's more written, but words have become something that's really important for me. And I think some of it is because I started nonverbal, which makes sense as like a dancer as well, right? Like I kind of gravitated towards nonverbal communication. But going through education systems, getting two master's degrees, like I had to figure out how to really work to find words. And I think that has now just become something that's quite, I'm not gonna say easy, but I can like dip into the flow of it because it's been a muscle I've had to work. And I guess another hat that I wear is I have multiple pen names that I write under. But that's kind of separate, a different kind of writing and expression for me. I think it's a great way to share knowledge is through the written word. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think that's something that we've grown into through this, through the process of human evolution, is just, you know, putting down symbols that represent a kind of cognitive understanding of like, this means that, and these words mean sentences, these sentences mean meaningful thought, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm more of an oral based culture from where I grew up. And so that's something that where podcasting was right up my alley. And so I really just enjoyed this kind of level of understanding of like education through the oral portion has always been something that I've been good at. And so that's just, you know, my curiosity of like, you know, that's really cool that you've, you know, found enjoyment through different penship names and trying to, you know, help others through that is really cool. I think you have to have this level of like really deep enjoyment of like, because I horrible, like you said, it takes me a long time to like write one sentence. That is definitely my mentality all the time. I have very, you know, it takes me a while to write down some stuff, but if I can talk to speech, I can I can go all day. That's how I get a lot of my work done, is through talk to speech. But it's just something that has worked really well for me. And so I definitely I have this level of appreciation for those who write and collectively put down thoughts to, you know, books and things like that. So because I truly admire, you know, having this physical item that is a representation of your one portion of your brain. And so that's really beautiful to me. Let's get into a little bit of the Gray Box Collective is really quickly, because it is not every day that you have someone who has this kind of grouping of, you know, how do you call it, dancing and events and things like that, that you guys put on. What was the kind of, I guess, first one, and why did it grow so much into this big now collective for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you could probably guess based on how I've shared other journeys in my life, like, it wasn't the plan. I was finishing my MFA in dance, and I wanted some funding for a project. And the person was like, well, you have to have a business to get funded. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll start a business. And that's how it started. And that was 8 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah. So with Gray Box Collective, in a nutshell, we make weird art about tough stuff.
Yeah.
And with that, it has definitely, like, I mean, moving COVID, it was its own evolution. But it started with, that was where I was housing the work about sexual assault on college campuses. That's what the performances were under the umbrella of Gray Box Collective.
Got it.
And since then, it has expanded into other topics, but mental health does seem to be a theme no matter what. And we, like, just finished a year and a half of a performance called Understanding Otherness, which was something that we actually presented to some of the schools around here to spark those conversations around, like, bullying and why are we, you know, like, very mean girls and that separation and all of that, right? How do we come back together? And so that's been about a year and a half of that. And another piece that we have been working on, and we actually have a cookbook launch for next week, is a piece called Pause, which was very much came out of the pandemic, talking about grief and loss and transformation. And the coloring book actually walks you through our creative process and also has pictures from the performance. So,
That's awesome. I was gonna bring that up, and I'm glad that you did. Just as beautiful as like a coloring book. It's as simple as it may seem. The fact that you have these beautiful pieces of walkthrough performances and just understand, it really does just like it goes to show you that's like you start here, it doesn't mean that you will end here. And so it's just like, it's a really wonderful piece of like goes to show if you just follow the flow and just, walk the path, you will get to somewhere where it's really beautiful. And kudos to you, because again, another format that you didn't think that you were going to be a part of, which is a coloring book. I mean, you don't get trauma-based dancing to coloring aspect. So it's like, yeah, that's really cool.
And the thread of just being like the somatics and embodiment of it all through it, like that's what we're using as the vehicle for performance and bringing in a tangible way for audiences to also be able to engage in the work and color, but also feel how that response works in their bodies too.
Absolutely. There's another piece of work that you're going to be releasing out later in May. Can you give us a little bit of insight? Because we're now going into future stuff and future work that you're going to be going into. So I'd love to understand that as well. I think it's May 18th or.
So May 18th, yes, I have a workshop on somatic movement. And that will be at Urban Wellness, where I have an office and share with some other practitioners in that space.
Yes.
And then I also will be continuing workshops at Mesa Arts Center in June. And those are all drop-in, and there are a couple different formats that you can try there. So if you want to do floor work with somatics, we'll hang out with floor work. I love floor work. We also have improvisation. And we hear a lot about people taking improv classes at like your comedy theater or something, right? But we can also start to explore improvisation in our bodies and in our movement. So there's that avenue. And then I guess the big kind of evolution of my work is this summer launching into group coaching and mentorship programs. I've been receiving some emails lately that don't really fit into what I currently offer. And so allowing some space for us to be doing that work in community.
That's beautiful. I love that. That's going to be awesome. And I really do appreciate you like having this kind of really genuine, enthusiasm for these different again, modalities, movement, and how you go about it. Because again, it's like this isn't the same as the coloring book. This isn't the same as this other course that you might be teaching. So I'd love that you have this wide arrangement of different opportunities to learn and to appreciate what the somatic world is bringing and offering. So I'd also love, is there any books in the works? Are you writing? Are you still writing? Is there something that you're looking to release later this year, or am I just pulling at strings here?
Well, no. I feel like you're an accountability buddy right now. Yes, there are multiple in the process. But
Yes.
one that I started working on during COVID, and want to finish this year is called Juggling in an Earthquake.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And it's a collection of my writing, and which is very much based on my journey through burnout and healing from chronic pain. But it also has like QR codes and links so you can see the dances that I was making at that time,
Very
as well
cool.
as the visual artwork. So, yes, Juggling in an Earthquake is a project I want to get back to by the end of the year and really fully release it out this time.
Absolutely. That's going to be great. I really do wish you all the best on those different classes and things that you're working on. I know that as an individual, you are very creative and very, influential, and it's just really cool to meet someone like you. Before we go, I have one last question. This is just kind of something that I'm curious about, is your morning routine is just like I imagine it's very unique and just kind of like who you are as a practitioner and things like that. What's that look like on a weekly basis? Is it stretching? Is it tea? Is it like, writing down thoughts and ideas
Yeah.
from the night of, the night before? Like, what's that look like?
Yeah. So I like to operate with like kind of a sliding scale of what a morning routine or what a wind down routine looks like. So I kind of different depending on how much time I have in the morning. I have different things that I plug into. When I really have like I try to do this on Monday mornings, like a nice long warm up for the week. Like I do a combination of somatic practices that kind of pull on yoga, Pilates, Feldenkrais, as well as kind of my favorite developmental movements that I just feel really help to warm my body up on like a cellular level, like not just getting muscles and bones going. And then I'll go into a full pranayama practice, which is about 20 minutes of breath work. And it's a fairly physical practice for that. And then on days we don't have as much time, one thing I do is I try to tap into the four elements in the morning. So what that is like lighting up some dried lavender or a candle, watering the plants, opening windows, just trying to get myself connected to nature, something outside of myself. So it's kind of the range of where I'll go on things.
That's awesome. Well, I do appreciate you giving us that bit of information just
Yeah.
because, again, it's like you meet these individuals, and of course, they're normal, like they have lives. So it's like I love hearing that aspect of it, of like everyone's very unique, and the process of how you go about your week is way different than, let's say, a contractor or a
Yeah.
bug sprayer or someone who's just an author. It's very different. So again, much appreciation. Best of luck to everything as we wind down here, and this is the final bit. I love to let you promote yourself and where people can find you online, all your social media handles. The floor is yours, Molly. Take it away.
Right. Thank you, Jose. So yeah, the best place for people to find me is definitely to go to my website where it has like all the things. And so my website's my name, mollywskank.com, and show notes can have that spelled out for you. And yeah, and then social media. And in terms of working with clients, I do both virtual as well as in person. So I like to keep that opportunity open. So if you want to work from the comfort of your own space, like I understand that. So yeah.
That's very beautiful. The fact that you can offer both is just really, it's a one, it's a very big side effect from COVID, but I understand. But also very, like you said, it's very personal to the individual. If they want to feel comfortable in a space that they call their own, it's very beautiful that you offer both. Before we go, we do have an outro for ourselves. You can hear every episode of our podcast at findingarizonapodcast.com. Social media wise, we are available under Finding Arizona Podcast under everything. And last but not least, we always say kisses, hugs, and belly rubs to our four-legged friends, and we will see you next time. Bye, everyone.